Over the course of 20 novels, the great writer Patrick O'Brien followed the friendship of Jack Aubrey and Stephen Maturin, the one a bluff English frigate captain, the other an Irish doctor, naturalist, and spy. When he visited this program in 1995, Patrick O'Brien explained the value of setting his stories on a small ship during the Napoleonic Wars.
One of the things that I'm really concerned with is the nature of human relations, how they mature, how they develop. And a wooden box set afloat in a remote ocean in either hostile atmosphere or a terribly hot one, or in shortage of food, shortage of water, brings all those things on much more rapidly, just as heat hastens chemical reactions. And if you're interested in human reactions, and that, I think, is the essence of writing novels, then that is a pretty good ambience in which to do it.
Last year, two of Patrick O'Brien's Aubrey Maturin books provided the story for the movie Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World. At his death, almost 5 years ago now, O'Brien was hard at work on the next novel in the series. Now publisher W.W. Norton has released that fragment under the title 21. If you have questions about O'Brien or his work, you can give us a phone call. Our number is 800-989-8255, or you can send us an email, totn@npr.org. Starling Lawrence joins us now. He was Patrick O'Brien's editor and friend. He joins us on the phone from his office in New York City, and it's good to talk with you again.
How are you, Neil?
I'm very well, thanks. What can you tell us about this last work?
Well, it in a way, it took us by complete surprise. Nobody ever saw anything that O'Brien did before he had finished it and honed it and polished it to his satisfaction. We knew that when he died early in January of 2000, we knew, or could have guessed, because we knew he was working on another book, that there was something left. And for the questions came almost immediately, will you hire somebody to finish whatever is there? And the answer was, don't be ridiculous. I had heard, I don't know on what authority, that what was there was, not ready for anybody to look at, and nobody had any intentions or imagination of publishing what was there, because in any case, we knew it wasn't very much.
Yeah. And what you found were two things, really. O'Brien always said that he wrote his books out in longhand, and then I guess did the first rewrite, really, when he went to typescript on a typewriter.
Yes.
And you have three chapters in longhand, and some of it in typescript.
Almost all of it. Almost all of it in typescript. There are about seven, there are, I think, 68, 69, something in that order, handwritten pages, and there's typescript to match, or almost to match, because he changed it as he went from manuscript to typescript. There's all but six or seven of the manuscript pages are accounted for in the typescript.
And the interesting thing, as you look back and forth, obviously you get a wonderful impression of the mind of the writer as he works, but if you can, you've printed the written out, the longhand pages, and if you can puzzle through his penmanship, this is astonishingly high-quality stuff for a first draft.
It is. It's really wonderful, and I would recommend to anybody undertaking this to get lay hands on a magnifying glass before you start, because it really is. It's a very elegant hand, but he was in his getting on to 86 or so. So it wasn't it's not as clear as his handwriting might have been or would have been if he were writing you a letter. Mm-hmm. You can make it out, yes, I agree. The level, this is what astonished us when we saw it, is it was how good it is. I laughed out loud reading these pages, I don't do that very often. And the other thing that you see is not just you recognize, it's not just the high quality of the first draft, which I'd like to come back to in a minute, but also the sort of working notes to himself, must buy more ink cartridges. Where did those other pages go to? I mean, just sort of, it's almost in a limited way, a sort of stream of consciousness as he goes along. He's talking to himself. But the first draft is very interesting. I once asked him if he, I asked him how he wrote, and he said, "Well, I write with a pen," and indeed, he has a very pleasing italic hand. And I asked him why he did that, and he said, "Because I thought that most people I knew, if they didn't use a word processor, they'd probably write with a pencil." And he said that using a pen required the fact that it was harder to correct, it was harder to erase it. It made him think for an instant longer about what he put on the page, and he said he thought that that was worth a great deal. In terms of what he had at the end of the first draft, it was less casual or less careless. I mean, one doesn't think of those words in relation to O'Brien, but it was just better than it would otherwise have been.
Let's get some listeners in on the conversation. If you'd like to join us, by the way, it's 800-989-8255, or you can send us email, totn@npr.org. Charles is calling from St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I just finished reading The Yellow Admiral, and I had stopped reading his books like a few books ago because I wanted to read one of the new Stephen King books. And in the Stephen King book, the Gunslinger series, I suddenly came across this tortoise or this turtle that Stephen King had created, and he named the turtle Maturin, which I found astonishing because I had just, been so immersed in the Patrick O'Brien novels. And I guess a few pages later, or a few chapters later, whatever, Stephen King acknowledged that he took the name from the character in the Patrick O'Brien novels. I just want to throw that out. I had one quick question as long as I thought about it. A lot of the usage and the words are not American, and a lot of the expressions they're playing Old Harry with the enemy and stuff like that. I was wondering if you knew where that's just one thing that came to mind while I was holding, if you could maybe clarify the meaning of that expression.
I think Old Harry is probably a reference to the devil. But I'm guessing. I mean, this was people would ask O'Brien all the time where he got this, arcane and pleasingly arcane diction from. And the answer sometimes was that he made it up. He invented a disease. He admitted to inventing a disease called the Marthambles.
Right.
Nobody could find the Marthambles, and I think he'd run across it in a sort of an advertisement for a patent medicine, and that was who knows what they were talking about, but it occurs nowhere in the scientific literature, and it just pleased him, so he used it. So
there has been a glossary published of the terminology.
Yes, there has. But I think they came to grief on the Marthambles because that was just inside O'Brien's head, and he wasn't going to talk to those people. So
one of my favorite words is froward that he uses. So I actually looked that up, and I found out what studding sails finally were.
Yeah.
I should point out that in addition to this fragment, 21, W.W. Norton is publishing a complete boxed set of the novels?
A we call it the omnibus edition. It's five volumes with four novels per volume plus the 21 at the end of the fifth volume. They resemble in size and format the Library of America books of sort of great American writers. They're quite long, but they're printed on thin paper and you can hold them in one hand very easily.
Charles, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
We're talking with editor Starling Lawrence about Patrick O'Brien's last book or fragment thereof. It's called 21. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. Bill is calling from Walnut Creek in California.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm attracted to O'Brien's novels for many reasons. As a yacht racer, reading about the battles and the incredible detail that he was able to get out of the naval archives of the Royal Navy. But and perhaps you can help me remember the name of the book that I recently read that had Islamic cells operating in North Africa that Maturin had to deal with in terms of getting some finances to support the British Navy in that part of the world and his efforts. I thought the irony of Islamic cells operating and controlling the finances was pretty amazing at the last part of his,
yes,
his life.
Yes, that's in one of the very last books. I want to say the Commodore.
I think more the Commodore. The Nutmeg, I think, was set in the Pacific.
Nutmeg is much earlier. No, this is very, very late. I think it's the Commodore. It is fascinating.
Amazing irony.
Yeah. The Islamic cells set against the politics and military history of Napoleon's last gasp in Europe.
Indeed.
Bill, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
One of the things that I know another editor, Richard Snow, wrote the afterword after this, found remarkable was O'Brien clearly at the end of his life may not have been feeling entirely well. His wife of many years had died before. Yet this is as sunny a start to one of his books as any.
Yes, yes. There was a very dark book, and I too have trouble remembering the names and the sequence. But it was towards the end of the series, the book where he kills off Stephen Maturin's wife, Diana, mm-hmm. just in a coaching accident like that, and he was feeling very much distressed by the illness and death of his wife. They've been together for 50 years, but I agree this book has a sort of a sunniness. Of course, Jack Aubrey finally gets to hoist the rear admiral's pennant, so they're sailing for three chapters towards this happy event, so it can't help but be a moment of fulfillment and joy.
Let's take a call now from Lisa, who's calling from Soddy Daisy, is that right, in Tennessee?
It is, Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, right outside Chattanooga.
Uh-huh. Well, go ahead, you're on the air, Lisa.
Thank you. Let's cut through all this technical masculine crap. Did Clarissa marry the doctor?
I'm sorry?
Did Clarissa marry the doctor?
Well, I'm sure that...
Are you going to torture us?
Well, I'm sure that that would have happened. I will tell you a story. It would maybe classify as masculine crap here. I had a fascinating conversation. One, I did see a piece of... piece of O'Brien's, one of his books before it was finished, and I think it was may have been the Yellow Admiral. Anyway, where they're in the West Africa station, where Maturin first meets the woman who he may marry after the death of his wife, and there was a chapter 5 or a chapter 7 in which things became very hot and heavy between.
The doctor,
the widow,
yes.
So hot and heavy, in fact, that O'Brien called me up later and said, I think I may have overshot the mark. and he wanted the chapter mailed back to him, and what we finally ended up with in the book was something much tamer than the first draft.
Lisa, I'm afraid the answer is we don't know.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. Starling Lawrence, thanks so much for being with us today.
You're very welcome.
Starling Lawrence, an editor at W.W. Norton, a friend and editor of Patrick O'Brien. 21 is the fragment of his last book in the Aubrey Maturin series. This is NPR News.